Good morning, everyone. We're very glad to see you in the Lord's house for morning worship. We welcome you to the meeting in the Saviour's great name. I'm going to read just one verse from 1 Corinthians 15. The words of the 34th verse, let me emphasize the first word of the verse. It's in keeping with our theme, our Bible study today. It's the word awake. The verse says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. We know the Lord will bless the reading of this verse to every heart this morning. The Psalm 98, please, is our opening praise. It's the words of the second version of the Psalm. We're going to sing all of the verses together. Sing a new song to Jehovah, for he wondrous things hath wrought, his right hand and arm most holy, victory to him have brought. So the 98th Psalm, second version, and we're rising to sing, please. Let's just seek the Lord together, please. We'll bow in his presence. Just and seek his face. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence in prayer, praying that you'll come and guide us in this meeting. We thank you that you've assured us that you'll teach us and instruct us in the way that we should go. Guide us with thine eye. We want to pray, Father, guide us through this service. Pray that you'll guide us through this day. We ask for your leading as well. through this week that lies before us. We want to pray, Father, that you'll come. Give us liberty at the throne of grace. Give us boldness. We're conscious, Father, we acknowledge that comes only by the endowment, the power of thy Spirit upon us. We ask that the Holy Ghost will descend upon our lives, fill us now. We want to pray, Father, that you'll fill every brother, every sister in this meeting with the power of thy Spirit. We pray that we'll be conscious that the Holy Ghost is here. We want to pray, Father, that we'll worship thee today in spirit and in truth. We want to know the leading of the Holy Ghost. We want to know, Father, his enabling, his prompting. We pray that the Spirit might guide us, especially in our reading, our study of the Word of God. Lord, we ask that there might be an awakening in the Church of Christ in these days. We remember the great awakenings that took place in the 18th century, especially under the ministry, the preaching of men like Whitfield and the Wesleys. Oh God, send it to us again. We thank you for what we have been considering of thyself in recent weeks. We remember that you're the unchanging God. Thou art Jehovah, the great I Am, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, what you've done in the past, we know that you can, you're able to do again in the present, at this time. Oh God, our greatest need, the greatest need of our land, is for a move of God, a great awakening that is wrought by thy Spirit. Lord, let it come today, we pray. May the Spirit of God fall upon these meetings. May the Spirit of God fall in the fullness of his power upon our lives. Lord, may there be an awakening here in this city of Armagh. Lord, so many that are dead in trespasses and in sins, they need the power of God to come upon them to open their blinded eyes. Remember the testimony of John Newton, I once was blind, but now I see. O God, come and do that mighty work that only thou can do. Save in our midst. Father, we thank you for prayer answered in these recent days. Thank you for bringing visitors into our services, encouraging our hearts for the presence of God amongst us. We ask, Lord, that that will continue. We plead that it might increase even in coming days. Bring in others, Father, even to the service tonight, the gospel meeting. We ask that you'll send others here. We pray for your hand upon that gathering. Remember our brother Norman, thank you for him, for his faithful labors here for many years. Encourage your servant at this time. May that meeting be a means of blessing and encouraging his heart. Lord, we pray it might be a means even of bringing the gospel to the hearts of family members that are still out of Christ. And Lord, we pray that you'll send others as we think of the future. Lord, we need others to take the place of our brother Norman, other laborers and workers. We obey the command of our Savior when he taught us to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. Oh God, hear our cries. Give us all a heart to work. Save us, Father, from being careless and apathetic towards our labors. Oh God, save us from being a lukewarm church, a Laodicean church. We pray that we'll be like our Savior when the Word of God says that the zeal of thine house hath eaten them up. We plead, Father, for a greater zeal to serve the Master, a greater zeal even to reach lost souls for Christ. Lord, impress that on our hearts today, the condition of those that know not Christ. How often, Father, we get to the stage that we don't give that a thought, to think that men and women are lost, in danger of being lost even for all eternity. Oh God, burden our hearts, open our eyes, pray for a clearer sight, a clearer vision of the needs of those around us. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us, like the woman in the Scriptures, to do what we can in the service of the Master. Remember the words that Charles Wesley penned, and let me live to preach thy word, and let me to thy glory live. Lord, may that be the desire, the burden of our hearts, that every day we live just to tell others of Christ, to speak his name, to witness of him, to tell the glories of our Saviour, and to speak of the greatness of his salvation. Lord, bless us with salvation today. We plead with thee, come, put your hand upon these meetings. We ask, Lord, that it might please thee to come amongst us in saving blessing, in salvation blessing. O God, we pray that you'll come in such a way that a number are saved, a number are converted to Christ in salvation. Lord, hear our prayers. We ask thee to continue with us through this meeting. We ask thee, Lord, to bless your word to our hearts today. We pray that it will not just be another service, another meeting, another message. We ask it might be a message from God, a word that is preached with unction, with power, with the anointing of your Spirit resting upon it. Lord, answer the earnest, united cries of all our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 526, please. I have only one life on this earth, and as vapor, it's passing away. I must labor for treasures of worth, ere toils end at the close of the day. Hymn 526, please. We'll stand again as we sing. Testament scriptures and the minor prophets. The first chapter of the book of Jonah. We're going to begin to read at the first verse. And we pray the Lord will speak to us even through the reading of his word today. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. Think of how the book opens. Consider the words carefully. Let them be your desire today as you come to the Lord's house. Let them be your prayer this morning. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. It says now, and that's what we long for, we desire. And not tomorrow, not next week. We need a word now. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, think of the word arise, it's repeated in the chapter. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmasters came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. Remember what we've been saying in recent Sabbath evenings about the name Lord in the small capitals. If you have a Bible with a margin, you'll see it is Jehovah, I fear the Lord, or I fear Jehovah, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. So we'll close our reading at the end of the chapter. And we pray for the Lord's blessing this morning to follow the public reading of His Word. Thank you for your presence. We welcome you to morning worship in the Savior's great name, especially to those that have come to visit in this meeting. We're glad of your presence with us. We pray together we'll know a visitation of the Lord. Pray that His Spirit will come and move. And our prayer would be the Lord will speak, especially from His Word. We're glad to see the children, the young people, all of those that were in Sunday school and Bible classes before this morning service. That encourages us. We appreciate your faithfulness. And we want to welcome those as well that are watching this service on the live stream. Keep in mind the service tonight, the prayer meeting, 6 o'clock downstairs in the church hall. We do urge you to come to that meeting, urge upon you the importance of it. 6:30 is the gospel service. I hope to be preaching myself on the theme of ever faithful, ever sure. Remember that we're planning to make a presentation to Mr. Norman Kerr, as he has been appointed as Elder Emeritus of this congregation for his faithful labours here for many years. We encourage you to plan to attend that meeting. That would be an encouragement to our brother. We're planning to have just a cup of tea and a biscuit afterwards. All will be provided by the church, so there's no need for the ladies to bring any food. Just some very light refreshment for an opportunity to have a wee bit of fellowship together after the service tonight. So keep that in mind and plan to be with us, and plan to wait behind for a short time afterwards as well. Tomorrow night at 7:30 is the next meeting of the Kirk session of the church, meeting in the minister's room. Wednesday night at 8 is the prayer meeting and Bible study. We've been having some reports in recent months of various departments of the church. We're hoping to work our way through all of the departments. So our brother, Mr. Ken Hartley, our Sunday school superintendent, he will give a report on the Sabbath school this coming Wednesday night, and he'll also bring a little message in keeping with that report. So we do invite you, encourage you to come along to hear that report this coming Wednesday evening. There was a very good attendance last Wednesday night for the midweek service, the special deputation meeting. That was a blessing to all that were present. So we encourage you to come along and be present with us this incoming Wednesday evening. Then next Lord's Day, the 30th of April, 10:40 are Sunday school and Bible classes. The service is 11:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. I'll be preaching at both of those myself. There is the half hour of prayer that precedes both the services. Next Lord's Day, we're going to be taking the annual missionary council offering at both of the services. It's just a wee bit later than we normally would have done so, but please keep that special offering in mind. Give to it as generously as possible. Put your gift in an envelope, mark it for the Missionary Council offering, and then just place it on the plates at the door. Those that have missionary boxes, we invite you to bring those in at this time as well. Give them to our brother and sister Wesley and Laura. And we want to encourage a good number to have the missionary boxes, so if you're interested in having one of them, speak to them about that. Our new committee had its first meeting on Tuesday night past. It was a very good meeting. We thank the Lord for that. At that meeting, as is always the case, the officers of the committee are appointed. That always takes place when a committee meets for the first time. So our brother, Mr. Billy McCrum, was reappointed as the church secretary. Mr. Billy Hill and Mr. Fred West reappointed as the joint treasurers of the congregation here. So we ask you to pray for these men with their additional responsibilities. And do please pray for the committee as a whole in their work in coming months and years. The offering that was taken on Wednesday night past for the Faith in Action mission, so far that has come to £1,073.48. We thank you for your sincerely for your very generous giving to that offering. Remember that you can still add to it. Put your gift on the plate again and mark it just for FIAM or Faith in Action mission. Or if you'd like to see one of the treasurers personally directly about that, that will be fine as well. It was a very good meeting. We were glad to have our brother Donald. Gave us a very comprehensive report just of the situation there, the support that they're seeking to give to the Christians, to the churches. And it was very challenging just to see the ministry, the outreach that has been carried on by the churches in the Ukraine at this time. So remember, brother, if you haven't been able to give to that offering, please do so as soon as you can. Just to emphasise that the outreach team will be going out again on Tuesday the 2nd of May, meeting here at the church at 7:30. We encourage a good number. There was a very good number at the beginning of this month when the team went out for the first for this season. We encourage you to keep up your support and others to get involved in that as well. Keep in mind that they generally go out on the first Tuesday of every month. Unfortunately, our brother Adrian's operation on Friday had to be postponed. An anaesthetist wasn't available for the operation. We're very disappointed for our brother. The operation has now been rescheduled for the 11th of May. So continue to remember Adrian in your prayers and pray that it will go ahead on the 11th of May. You may have noticed in the porch as you come in, there's a table there in the corner with some calendars for 2023 that are still available. There's the Let the Bible Speak 50th anniversary calendar and also some of the children's calendars that are given out to the boys and girls. Those are free of charge. As the year's going on, we would like those distributed. So to anyone that can make use of them, please take a copy or copies, as we emphasise that they are free. So take those and distribute them, give them out to your family, your friends, and to your neighbours. Just remind you again that the Reverend Park's new book, 100 Days After Lockdown, that copies are available in the church. The cost is £10 per copy, and the proceeds are going to help support and educate poor children in Asia. There is a sheet in the porch. Put your name down if you take a copy or copies, and mark on that sheet as well once it has been paid. Just to emphasise some matters relating to the missionary work, Noel Shields and Colin Maxwell are over in the Isle of Man. They're commencing a gospel mission in the church there today in Port Erin. They have been there for a few days doing the doors. They're both very capable and experienced in evangelism and outreach. So they've had encouraging times on the doors, some very encouraging and profitable conversations. We ask you to remember them, take them upon your heart. There's sadly not a great spiritual interest in the Isle of Man as a whole. So pray the Lord will encourage them, give them souls as they minister there. Remember the gardeners, God willing, returning to Australia again on Thursday. So remember them in the final few days of their visit here. Pray that they'll have grace to leave their families, travelling mercies for that very long journey back to Perth, and that the Lord will give them tokens for good very early in their ministry as they take it up again next weekend. Just to emphasise to you that the Church of Uganda, that's the Anglican Church, at the end of this week, broke away from Canterbury, broke away from the Church of England. The reason for that was because of the Church of England's support for same-sex marriages and their decision a couple of months ago to approve prayers of blessing for such unions. And also they were very grieved about the enthusiastic support that the Archbishop of Canterbury gave to all of those decisions. So this is a very significant step. We pray that others might follow the lead that they have given. They took that decision following an Anglican conference that was held in Africa during the past week. It was held in a neighbouring country, Kigali, in Rwanda, Kigali being the capital city there of Rwanda. Most of the African churches do take a very strong position, a very conservative, biblical stand on all of those issues. We thank the Lord for that, for the courage that he's given to them. So as we've said, pray that others might follow the lead that the Ugandan church there has given. The hand of death has been amongst us as a congregation in recent days, a number of our families. We want to sympathise with the Carson family on the homecoming of Mrs. Dolores Carson, David's mother, Shirley's mother-in-law, Adam and Hannah's grandmother. The Carsons have been attending the church here regularly from about 1987. Harold, Dolores' husband, first started to come to some special meetings around the time this building was opened in 1975. Dolores' health has been deteriorating just in recent years. She was taken into the Sandringham care home in Portadown a little over 2 years ago in March of 2021. But especially in the last few months, her health has been deteriorating. She turned 93 just last Saturday and then passed away quickly and peacefully last Sabbath evening. So she lived for 93 years and a day. Her funeral service was here on Wednesday afternoon, and the interment then was in St. Mark's graveyard here in the city. We do rejoice in the knowledge that Mrs. Carson knew the Saviour, came to the Lord many years ago. We also want to sympathise with the Windrum family on the death of Mrs. Belle Cherry, who was Cyril and Esmond's aunt, their mother's sister. Also Richard, Andrea, Gillian and Deborah's great aunt, and Sam and Amelia's great-great-aunt. Mrs. Cherry lived in Birmingham. She was 105 years of age and passed away just on Friday. She came to know the Lord in her 90s. We rejoice in that fact, that like Nicodemus in the Scriptures, she was saved in old age. We also want to sympathise with Ivor and Siobhan Finlay and the family on the death of Ivor's uncle, Bert Finlay. The funeral was last Lord's Day. We just became aware of that death last Sabbath evening. So we do want to assure all of these families of our sympathy and our prayerful support as a congregation, and we ask the members of the congregation if they would please keep all of these families in your prayers just at this time. Finally, just to mention to you, it was 5 years ago today, St. George's Day, that I took on well. I took cardiac arrest in Dublin Airport just at about 4 o'clock or slightly after it that afternoon, and then had the heart operation around 8 o'clock that evening. Time goes by so quickly. There's a question that Andrew Bonner asked repeatedly in his diary. I encourage you to buy that book published by the Banner of Truth. It's the diaries of Andrew Bonner. They were edited by his daughter. There's also an account of his life that is given in that book as well. It's a very profitable devotional book to read. Quite often I ask the question, why am I spared and others taken? So many of his family taken away young in life, even his own dear wife, some of his siblings, his very good close friend and colleague, Robert Murray McShane. So he was brought to ponder that question often, why am I spared and others taken? That's a good question for all of us to consider. I have mentioned to you three deaths in connection with this congregation in recent days. And we're reminded that we're going down the valley one by one. Our time is short. So why are you spared and others taken? If you're out of Christ, the reason for that is the Lord's giving you an opportunity to be saved. He's giving you time and opportunity to repent and to come to Christ. If you're saved, the reason you're spared is not so that you can become famous. It's not so that you become more wealthy. It's so that you might serve the Lord. Remember, we've only one life. We sang that a little earlier. But that's the reason why the Lord spares you a little longer. Because he's giving you a little more time to serve him, to do something for the extension of his kingdom. So I'm thankful, encouraged. The Lord still has a little work for me to do. I'm very thankful for the prayers of the Lord's people that were answered so clearly at that time. We're going to sing another hymn together, please, just before we come to the Word of God this morning. 640. We'll sing some of the verses. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us, and fit thy church to meet this hour. So we're going to sing together just the first, the third, and the fifth, 1, 3, and 5 of 640, standing as we sing, please. Please, the first chapter. Let's just open the scriptures together. With the Word of God open, we'll seek the Lord's face together. Heavenly Father, we do draw an eye to thee in the Saviour's name. Thankful for your hand upon this meeting. Thankful, Father, for the help we've known already. Thank you for your presence, even for speaking to us. Pray, Father, that you'll continue to speak even more clearly, more powerfully, to all of our hearts. Remember, Father, all that grieve and mourn, all those families of this congregation that have been to the graveside just in recent days. We pray for the Carson family, the Windrum family, the Finlay family too. We commend them, Father, each into your hands. We ask that they'll know the presence of the Lord. We pray that you'll give to them the comfort that only thou thyself can give. Comfort them by knowing the Lord is with them. And Lord, speak to their hearts. Speak out of your word. Thank you for the sharp two-edged sword you've given to us. Lord, we pray that we'll feel, know both edges of that sword, both the comfort and the challenge of the word of God. Pray the challenge of it might come to our hearts today. And we pray the Spirit of God will come and minister the word. May he apply it. And Lord, we pray that you'll come and awaken us. Awaken this congregation would be the cry of our hearts. Hear these are prayers now. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jonah chapter 1, the verses 5 and 6. It says, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. We're thinking this morning of sleeping Christians. Mr. Spurgeon, in one of his meetings, he looked down as he was ministering the word. He saw a man in the congregation that was asleep. He stopped for a moment and he said to the man that was sitting beside him, waken that man up. The man that was identified to do the wakening up, he was quite sharp. He gave a reply back to Mr. Spurgeon. He said, you put him to sleep. You can waken him up. It's a good answer, wasn't it? The reality is that people do sleep in church. Maybe you're one of them. Some people say that the pews have ends on them to help keep you upright whenever you do fall asleep. I have a sympathy with those that sleep in church. I can identify with that, especially from those days in the farming, the long days outside, then coming into the heat and so on. Can I remind you that it happened even in New Testament times. You think of Eutychus, the young man that fell from the window of the third loft when Paul was preaching in Troas. You think of Gethsemane, the disciples. The disciples fell asleep in the prayer meeting just on the eve of the crucifixion. So it reminds us, brethren and sisters, the best of Christians have fallen asleep. And they've fallen asleep in the best of meetings, in the greatest of company, with the greatest of preachers. But what I want to point out to you, especially this morning, is that sleeping in church is not just a physical condition, it's also a spiritual condition. Paul said when he was writing to the church at Ephesus, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. Now remember, he was writing there to Christians. He was writing to believers. What he was saying is that some Christians are lazy. Some are slumbering. Some are taking their ease in the Christian life and in the work of God. And I wonder today, are you one of them? Now don't be too quick to answer that question, because remember, when you sleep, you don't know it. Sometimes you can walk in your sleep. You think of sleepwalkers, those that walk about the house in their sleep. It's said that Napoleon's army, he had been pushing them so much that they were so tired that they slept as they actually marched. Sleepwalkers. Sometimes, as well as walking, you can talk in your sleep. So people walk and talk as they're sleeping. In other words, you can look as if you're awake. You can go through the motions, but in reality, you're asleep. And I wonder, is that your condition, your spiritual condition? Or is it the condition of this congregation, even the condition of this denomination at this time in which we're found asleep spiritually? We have a picture of that condition here. We have a picture in these verses of sleeping Christians. You think of the fact that there's a storm that's raging. It's a time of crisis. Lives are in danger. But what is Jonah, the man of God, doing? You would expect him to be busy. You'd expect them to be praying and to be working, but no, Jonah's sleeping. And how sad that is, men and women. And this was nothing new in Jonah's life. You see the word arise that is used there in verse 6 by the captain when he said to him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God." Well, that's exactly the same word that's found at the beginning of verse 2. I highlighted it for you in the reading. Arise, go to Nineveh. That would make you think that Jonah had been sleeping then as well. Whenever the Lord called him as a missionary, called him to go to Nineveh to preach the word of God. So here's a Christian who is spiritually sleeping. He had got lazy. He's got sleepy. And I want you to ponder this morning, is that your condition? A sleeping Christian. Do those words describe you? If they do, I want you to consider what is happening as you're sleeping. We're going to think of what was happening as Jonah was sleeping here in this ship. And I want you to think of what's happening around you as you're sleeping spiritually as a child of God. You'll notice as Jonah was sleeping that others were perishing. Look at the end of verse 6. "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." While Jonah was asleep, others were in danger of perishing. Heathen men, heathen sailors, were in danger of death and danger of being lost. And brethren and sisters, it's the same for the church. While you sleep, souls are perishing, souls are being lost. And just think today of how serious, how very serious that is. Consider the most famous verse in all the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." Just think of that word, perish. Think of the reality. Think of the seriousness. Souls can perish. If you're out of Christ in this meeting, we want to impress that on your heart. You can perish. You're in danger of perishing, being lost for all eternity. Souls can and are perishing around us. Remember the words of the Savior? "Even so, it's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." It's not his will. God doesn't want souls to be lost, especially the souls of children. Can I ask you, do you want souls to be lost and to perish eternally? You think of the question, how many souls have perished while you have been asleep in the Christian life? A mission church many years ago had a clock in the building. They put a sign over the clock with the words on it, 83 a minute. What did it mean? It meant that 83 souls a minute were passing out into eternity. You know, that little statement was such a challenge, the Christians in that fellowship asked for the sign to be taken down. The figure, of course, is probably much, much higher today than 83 a minute. But brethren and sisters, souls are perishing. May God let you see the reality of that this morning. And the question is, are you doing anything about it? Doing anything to reach those souls? If you read the story of the 1859 revival here in this province, there was a man called Jeremiah Manili who was very prominent in that work. He was one of the four men who prayed in the schoolhouse in Kells for all of those months, pleading for the blessing of God. One night he came to a friend's house. It was quite well on into the evening. He found his friend in bed. He was quite shocked at the fact. And this is what he said when he knocked at the door. The friend came to the upstairs window and looked out. Jeremiah Manili looked up at him and he said, "What? Lying in bed and souls to be saved?" There's not a doubt we certainly need sleep. But Christian, are you sleeping? Are you idle? And souls to be reached, souls to be saved, a work to be done in evangelism for Christ. There's a young student on one occasion who was in great distress. after a college friend had died very suddenly. The young man was asked, "What's wrong? Why are you so upset?" He said, "He's in hell, and I didn't witness to him. I never spoke to him." Are you like that? Maybe friends in hell, you didn't speak. You didn't tell them of Christ. You didn't witness to them of the need of their soul. Brethren and sisters, we need to be busy. We need to be busy in soul winning. I have a book in my study on the subject of soul winning with the title, "Don't Wait Until They're Dead." Isn't that a great challenge to our hearts today? The New Testament speaks of those that had a dumb spirit. They couldn't speak. And you know, the sad thing is, when it comes to the gospel, there are many Christians just like that in the church. They're dumb. They don't speak, don't open their mouths to tell about the Savior. It's a strange thing that those same Christians can open their mouths to talk about everything else and everybody else, except for the one that they should be speaking about. There was a church in the United States a few years ago that had a program for the congregation, and the title of the program was "Each One Win One." And I want to urge you, I want to plead with you, take that on your heart today, brethren and sisters. What a difference that would make to this church here if each one, every member of this church, went out from this place today to win one, to win another to the Savior. Can I ask you, will you take up the challenge? So as Jonah was sleeping, others were perishing. As Jonah was sleeping, others were working. You look at verse 5 of the chapter. "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them." Here was idolatry, false religion. And while Jonah was sleeping, these practicers of false religion, they were busy. They were working. You think of the parable of the tares and the wheat. The Savior said, "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." And you know, brethren and sisters, that's what's happening today. While the church sleeps, the enemy's busy. The enemy's at work. The enemy is sowing tares all around us. Remember, the devil doesn't belong to a trade union. You think of all the strikes that has been going on in the country through the winter, still going on. Seems that everybody's on strike. Well, the devil doesn't go on strike. The devil doesn't believe in just working 9 to 5, 5 days a week. The enemy, men and women, is busy. You think of the cults, how active, how zealous, out in all weathers. Here's an interesting statistic for you. The United States of America has sent out approximately 22,000 Christian missionaries. That's a very encouraging figure, very impressive figure. But let me put alongside that the fact that there's over 20,000 Mormon missionaries, and most of them have come from the United States of America as well. Remember that 10 years or so ago, one of them tried to become the president of the United States of America. Did you know that Mormons get into at least one in every 7 homes? They start a church almost every day. The enemy's busy, brethren and sisters. Did you know that the largest printing press in the world is owned by the Jehovah's Witnesses, placed in New York City? It prints 500 pieces of gospel, 500 pieces of literature every second. They print their Watchtower magazine twice every month in at least 120 languages. Each issue has approximately 16 million copies printed, and 600,000 of those are for distribution in the United Kingdom alone. They claim to open 5 new kingdom halls every week somewhere across the face of the earth. Every Jehovah's Witness spends 10 hours a month on the doors. You know, the cult is growing. They reckon it's growing by 4,000 new converts a week. It's no wonder when you think of and consider their activity. And if you think it's not happening here in this area, some of you that were at the midweek meeting a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned to you on Easter Saturday, the Jehovah's Witnesses had an assembly in this city on Easter Saturday. Over 500 people that were present. They have another All-Ireland assembly planned for the month of June in Dublin. Just go down the road a few miles to the village of Caledon. Knock a few of the doors. When we were down there a few years ago doing outreach, we were taken back by the number of Jehovah's Witnesses that were residents just in that wee village. So it's happening all around us. We're sleeping. We're blind to the fact of what the enemy is doing. And the question, men and women, is how do we compare? How do we compare? Does their earnestness, their zeal, put us to shame? Well, the fact is it ought to. While the church sleeps, others are working. Is it any wonder, men and women, the darkness, the spiritual darkness, is descending upon our land and upon the world? So as Jonah slept, there were those that were in danger, others were perishing. When Jonah slept, others were working. The final point or thought I'll give you, when Jonah was sleeping, others were questioning. You look at the question there in verse 6. It says, so the ship master came to him. Here's Jonah fast asleep. And said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Look as well at the end of verse 8 of the chapter. Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? So here's worldly men, and they're questioning Jonah, questioning his life, his conduct, his position, his faith. Why were they questioning so much? Well, they were questioning because he was a hypocrite, because his life didn't match up to his profession. He told these men that he feared God, but in actual fact, he was running from God, running away from the Lord and running away from God's will for his life. Can I ask you, men and women, does society today not question the things of God? Does the world in which we are found not put a big question mark over the Bible and over the gospel? The world in which we live is full of unbelief. We need to ask ourselves, why is that? Can I suggest to you this morning one reason why that is? It's because of how many Christians live. Whenever the world sees the careless behavior of many Christians, when they see fighting among believers, when they see the inactivity of the church, well, that causes them to question the things of God. And they ask, and they rightly ask, is there any reality to Christianity? That's what many in the world is asking today. And they ask that question because they see very little reality in our lives. Do you remember what Haggai the prophet? He came to Jerusalem at a time when God's people there were asleep spiritually. God sent them with a stirring ministry. He came with the challenge, consider your ways. Twice over, that's recorded in Haggai chapter 1. That's what you need to do, brethren and sisters. That's what the church needs to do. That's what's needed in the day in which we live. You need to consider your ways, your life, your testimony, your walk with God, your service or lack of service for Christ. You know, a young girl got saved. The evangelist encouraged her to come to the youth fellowship in the church that she belonged to. The fellowship was on a Saturday night. The young girl said back to the evangelist, I go to the dance on a Saturday night. He said, remember, you're now a Christian. You need to witness to the people at that dance. She promised that she would do that. She went along to the dance. Strangely, she was up on the floor dancing with a boy. And as she was dancing, the Spirit of God brought to her heart and mind the conversation she'd had with the evangelist. She remembered the promise that she'd given that she would witness to the people at that dance. So she said to the boy that she was dancing with, are you a Christian? He said, I am not. And then he asked her the question, but are you a Christian? She assured him that she was. You know, that girl never forgot the next thing that that boy said to her, the longest day she lived. He said, what in God's name are you doing here? If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God. And maybe you need to ask that same question this morning as you think of how you live, the company you keep, the places you go, the things you do. Maybe you need to ask yourself, what are you doing there? What are you doing being involved in those things? You say you have no time for the things of God. You can't come to the meetings, can't come to the prayer meeting, can't get involved in serving Christ in the departments and the outreaches of the church. But you can go to some godless, worldly establishment and event. What are you doing there as a child of God? Did you ever hear the phrase, the world rebuking the church? Well, that's what that boy did to that girl that night in the dance. The world. Godless people rebuking believers. That's what happened here in this story. Jonah chapter 1. God had to use an ungodly man, an ungodly sailor, to question, to challenge the conduct of a prophet of the Lord, God's servant Jonah. And maybe the Lord has done the same in your life in recent days. Maybe some unsaved person in the family, a neighbor, at the workplace, has had to question your conduct when you've had no concern yourself about how you were living the Christian life. Maybe they've asked the question of you, are you not a Christian? Well, why are you drinking? Why are you cursing? Why are you dancing? Why are you smoking? Why are you not at the prayer meeting? Why do you not come to the evening gospel service with a burden for souls? You know, Mr. Spurgeon, as a boy, he stayed with his father, with his grandfather. His grandfather was a pastor in a little place called Stambourne. Mr. Paisley took a trip from the High Lee Bible Conference to Stambourne. We were able to be a part of that visit, a part of that trip. There was a man in the church that Spurgeon's grandfather pastored, and he was called Rhodes, R-O-A-D-S. They described him as old Rhodes. He had gone back into the world. He had started to attend what Spurgeon called in his day an alehouse. He would go there for some ale and to smoke his pipe. Spurgeon's grandfather was heartbroken about what that man had done. Spurgeon could see how grieved his grandfather was, and as a young boy, he thought he would do something about it. So one day, he walked into the alehouse. Remember, he's just a lad. He walked up to where that man was sitting, old Rhodes, and he asked him this question. What doest thou here, Elijah? And you know, that question, that challenge just from that lad brought that man back to the Lord again, spoke to him. And brethren and sisters, maybe when you think of how you're living, the company that you're keeping, the places that you go, maybe you need to be asked, what doest thou here? What are you doing there as a Christian, as a child of God? What are you doing in such places when you profess the name of Christ, profess to have a testimony of God's saving grace? The church is sleeping, men and women. And while the church is sleeping, the ungodly around us are questioning questioning the reality of the Bible, questioning the very message of the gospel itself. Is it any wonder, brethren and sisters, that there's so little interest in the gospel message in the day in which we live? Sleeping Christians. Are you one of them? Remember, others are perishing. Others, the enemies of the gospel, are working. The ungodly are questioning, blaspheming even the things of God. I'll say this to you just in conclusion. Whenever you stay in a hotel, sometimes you can request at the reception to have a wake-up call in the morning. You can tell them the time. The phone will ring in your room just to help you get up, get out of bed, especially if you get up a wee bit earlier. Well, brethren and sisters, let this message be a wake-up call to every believer in the meeting, to the congregation as a whole. That's what the church needs today. Be in no doubt of that. We can bury our head in the sand all we want. We can go about and pretend that everything's okay, but the reality is it's not. We need a wake-up call, men and women. Need to be awakened from the awful slumber that has fallen upon the Church of Jesus Christ in the days in which we live. You maybe know the story of Napoleon. He once pointed to China on a map of the world and he said, "There's a sleeping giant. Let him sleep. If he awakes, he will shake the world." And you know, that's what the devil is saying in the day in which we're found. As the devil looks at the church, he says, "There's a sleeping giant, but let him sleep. If he awakes, the church will shake the world." So that's what's needed, brethren and sisters, today more than anything else. We need an awakening. In the days of Whitfield and Wesley, there was what was called the two great awakenings. Read about them. What a day it was. Well, we need an awakening. We need God to come to this country with another great spiritual awakening. God says in his word, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep." May God be pleased to give it to us at this time. The word there in the middle of that verse, knowing the time that it is, that now it is high time. May the Lord be pleased to give it to us now and write his word upon all our hearts. We're going to sing a hymn penned by an Ulster man, J. Edwin Orr, the theologian of revival. "Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Saviour, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free." So verses 1, 3, and 4. We'll leave out the second. 6, 4, 4, we're standing as we sing, please.
Thank you.
Father, we bow before Thee at the close of the meeting. We're mindful that You're the God that knows all things, no limits to Your knowledge. And Lord, You know the condition of the Church of Christ today. You know the spiritual state of the land. Lord, You know the spiritual state of our hearts. We think of the closing words of this hymn, "For blessings now I humbly plead." Lord, we plead for Your blessing. We plead for a move of Your Spirit. We plead for the stirring of God upon our hearts and upon our lives. And Lord, we ask earnestly that You'll come and visit us with revival. Use us as a church, Father, in this city. Our desire is to move this city for God, to see it moved from one end to the other. Lord, we're conscious we need Thee. We need the Spirit to come down. So we'll go from Thy house, go with us. But Lord, we pray, save us from being forgetful hearers. We ask that You'll speak on. We want to pray, Father, that in our hearts today we'll ponder the things You've said to us. We pray that You'll help us to live in the light of eternity. Help us, Father, to do business with Thee today for eternity. And Lord, begin that revival in our hearts, in our souls. Now may the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be our abiding portion, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.